The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Thursday, 5 o'clock. It is 94 degrees outside the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Ugh. It is brutal out there. Be careful on your way home, folks. I say be careful like the heat's going to cause a traffic accident or something.
It says it feels like 98 on my phone.
Would you rather blow out a tire and have to change your tire on the side of the interstate when it's 94 degrees and humid like this outside, or when it's raining? I'd almost go with the rain, hot. Right?
No.
That's sweat, man. Like, that is sweat in your
That's
eyes.
That's fine. You, go, you can
can't
go home
grip
and
the
take
bar.
A
and you'd rather go hot than in the rain.
Oh, yeah. I've done
both. The cold. It was like 22 degrees outside.
Cold's brutal.
You'd rather go heat.
You want to do it when it's cold.
Yeah, you're probably right. Jake, the top five this evening, brought to you by our friends at MyBookie. Christopher Smith coming up just a minute to preview tonight's Thursday night NFL game.
Number one, Cleveland Browns have banned a fan for throwing beer in Titans cornerback Logan Ryan's face. Good move by the Browns, except they banned the wrong fan. Eric Smith, the man who received notice that he's been banned from the stadium, tweeted that he hasn't been to a Browns game since 2010.
So he's like, go ahead and ban me. It's all good. Well, that's par for the course. Is that guy need to be banned from the stadium forever? I mean, he just tossed a little bit. Like, maybe for the rest of the season or something like that. A stern talking to. Like, really? He can never go to a Browns game again? He had front row seats.
They got to get as many in the stadium as they can get.
Seems a little over the top to me.
I'm surprised they found him.
Well, they didn't, Trey.
Yeah, well, I know that. The first guy. I'm talking about the first guy. Like, how do you mischaracterize the one person and not be able to find the second one?
Number two.
Smart ass.
ESPN has released the tip times for the basketball SEC Big 12 Challenge. Tennessee, Kansas will tip off at 4 p.m. on January 25th at Allen Fieldhouse in Lawrence.
Road trip.
Other matchups include Baylor, Florida, Iowa State, Auburn, LSU, Texas, and Kentucky, Texas Tech.
I'm ready.
Kentucky, Texas Tech. Nice matchup. Tennessee, Kansas.
Be interesting to see is if Chris Beard continues to build a monster there at Texas Tech or if that was kind of a one-off type thing. I know they lost Culver, yeah, I guess, was a top 10 pick this year, so they got to replace him.
Number three, the NFL's Thursday Night Football Series continues tonight as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take on the Carolina Panthers in Charlotte with both teams looking for their first wins. Panthers are 7-point favorites, according to MyBookie.
In a game that Russell thought did not exist, it will go down tonight.
Oh, the who are the Bucs? The Panthers?
At the Panthers.
7-point spread. We'll get Christopher's thoughts on that coming up here in just a minute.
Number four, the Milwaukee Brewers' Christian Yelich, who was ruled out for the season yesterday with a fractured kneecap, will not require surgery and is not expected to suffer any long-term injuries. However, Yelich will be out 8 to 10 weeks in the rest of the season.
And he's the guy who busted his kneecap by fouling a ball off it. Just, whew. That's one of those injuries.
Kneecap.
You just talk about it, and it's like, gives you the.
Did you see the video?
No, I don't think I want to.
Yeah, it's actually not that bad.
Yeah, you can't really tell.
Oh, really?
He's still walking.
He just took a hard one right off the kneecap.
Mm. I mean, like, you'd have been laying there crying. I mean, just sobbing to the point where it embarrassed me.
And I'm sure you would just stoically shake it off and say.
He'd self-diagnose himself right there on the field.
Just go ahead and throw the next pitch.
I wouldn't cry about it like you would.
Just go ahead and throw the next pitch.
Oh, I'm a hay bear.
Strong men also cry bear. Let's not shame those of us who are in touch with our emotions and are not so repressed that we don't mind getting a good cry in every now and then. The late Jim Valvano once said, Bear, if you laugh and you cry and something else every day, that's a full day. That's a full day, my friend. It's been a while since I've seen that speech. But he said it.
I believe
he said it. And you shouldn't shame people for crying. It's a healthy part of. When was the last time you cried, tough guy?
98 when Phil was holding up a trophy.
I never cry. I never cried as a child.
Probably yesterday.
What'd you cry about? This is good.
There was a Twitter thread about all the rescue dogs at 9/11 and what happened to them and
I saw that.
What they went through and all that.
And you cried?
That's pretty tough.
Yeah, about halfway through it, I found myself sobbing.
Just bawling?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's that one dog that they had, beautiful German Shepherd, he found,
Is that the one they had?
What about the end of My Girl when Macaulay Culkin died? Spoiler alert. The waterworks get cranked
up
then?
The girl died.
No.
Waterworks get cranked up then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody did, and that,
Okay.
Macaulay Culkin died at the end of that?
I'm afraid of having a good cry, Russ.
Number five, you'll like this one, Bear. LeBron James, who filed for a trademark on the term Taco Tuesday, has been informed by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office that his application was denied, explaining that Taco Tuesday is a commonplace term.
Patent office, they're just rejecting. I mean, Ohio State, LeBron, they're just like, no. Get out of here with your ridiculous trademark claims. LeBron James, Ohio State University, the Ohio State University, you bunch of pretentious schmucks.
Well, that went down well. You did good, buddy.
Is that it?
That's it.
Well done, Jake. I felt like the top five was a lot shorter than the top four. That's supposed to be the other way around, right?
We weren't
interrupting like you normally do.
Horse races the whole time. It tends to go a little bit
faster.
Yeah,
I did get off on a little bit of a tangent.
What's your tone, Jake? You're talking to Russ now, all right?
I like it.
Do you cry when you eat something spicy? Does that get the tears flowing?
No, I don't eat spicy stuff that much. Used to love it, but,
That is the top five at five, brought to you by MyBookie, the official sports book of Fan Run Radio. With MyBookie, you bet, you win, they pay. Christopher Smith from MyBookie on the line with us right now. Christopher, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you fellas doing today?
Doing pretty well. I know you'll never believe this, but the guy who said that he would eat Bears' dirty undershorts if Texas lost to LSU this past weekend. We never heard from that guy again.
Shocking.
Yeah, I know, right?
Right.
Well, we got NFL football. No college football tonight, which is a little bit disappointing.
2 weeks in a row. I don't know what the heck they're doing here.
Yeah, we do have a good pro game tonight, though, as you got the Panthers hosting the Buccaneers. And a big line for an NFL game here tonight. Panthers -7. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked – on Monday about the two Monday Night Football games and in terms of being careful just to follow the public. And it turned out, the Texans covered against the Saints and the Raiders covered against the Broncos. I think this is another instance where, early in the season is actually the best time to kind of go against the popular opinion in terms of percentage of the time you're actually going to win those bets. And everybody saw, or anybody who saw Jameis Winston throw three interceptions, including two pick sixes against the 49ers in a really ugly loss last week. There's a lot of people that are on the Panthers today. And I think it's either Tampa or pass in this game. A couple of things, I don't think Winston's going to throw two pick sixes again in one game, maybe all season, but probably not tonight. And also, he had a couple of receivers that were either, out or sick last week, so that should help. I think the other play on this game is the under. Christian McCaffrey, of course, for the Panthers should have a huge day. But this number, if you can get a 49, which is still 49 on my bookie right now, it'll probably go to 48.5 or lower before kickoff. I think the under is a pretty strong play tonight as well.
No doubt. And if you look at all these internet power rankings for NFL teams after week one, obviously just one game, there's a lot of discrepancy. But pretty much all of them have the same best team and worst team. Everybody thinks the Patriots are the best team in the NFL so far after week one. And everybody thinks that the Dolphins are the worst team. And look at this way. They're playing. And the Patriots are a 19-point favorite. Again, huge NFL. Rarely do you
NFL.
See, like double-digit NFL lines. 19 points is probably not likely to be a bigger line in any game this year, I would say. Do you think the Patriots, and I don't know, man, just after what we saw last week, that might be low, I'm thinking the Patriots probably covered that.
Yeah, the only line that may be higher this year is when New England actually hosts Miami later on in the season. But if you remember back to last season, there was a game New England was at Detroit in week three, and that was sort of the game Detroit was really struggling in the first 2 weeks. It was, you know, former Belichick assistant coaching the team, and guess what happened? Detroit won straight up. So, you know, a lot of times in the NFL, when you get these ridiculously large spreads, you know, I'm not saying the Dolphins are going to beat the Patriots, but I am saying be careful not to just assume that it's free money, Patriots minus 19. I don't think, you know, I can stomach the a Dolphins bet here just because, you know, of everything that you already pointed out, just the obvious stuff. But I think just from like a sharp betting point of view, like this technically should be Lions or Dolphins or pass. But for me, I'm not going to touch it. But it will be interesting to see. New England has had several years where even though they were just this ridiculous public favorite, one of those years was the best Randy Moss year in New England. They were still super profitable against the spread and just still ran everybody over. So there are times when New England is so good that they don't really conform to the rules of the market. Just like most of the time when a team like this is so good, odds makers just raise the money, the number to a ridiculous amount. And even if they're still 90% of the money on that side, they're fine with that because they're basically betting that the other team's going to cover the money and they're going to have a huge profit margin. But the Patriots have been one team that you have to be careful just going against them, even when they do have huge numbers like that.
Christopher, looking at the college landscape this weekend, two games kind of stand out to me in the SEC, and I'm interested to see how one of these plays out. You've got Florida traveling to Lexington, and then on the other side of this thing, you've got Alabama going to South Carolina. So let's start with Alabama and South Carolina. Alabama's a 26-point favorite, according to my bookie, over South Carolina and freshman quarterback Ryan Helinski right now. The over-under is 62 points. Where do you go with this game if you're going to try to bet on it?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is another one that, to me, is sort of South Carolina or pass. And for me, it's a pass just because if you think that the freshman quarterback is an upgrade over Jake Bentley, then I think you should play South Carolina plus 26. But having gone back and looked at the Charleston Southern game a little bit more closely, he had a tremendous stat line in the box score, but the majority of his passes did not travel 5 yards. And the ones that did, he missed some very easy deep balls that were wide open. And then on some other ones, you know, they were incomplete as well. So that tells me, you know, it's at least a mystery whether he can throw down the field, especially against a team like Alabama. And that's given like a, you know, an optimistic point of view. And more likely is South Carolina is going to throw very conservative underneath high completion kind of passes. And against Alabama, when they know you're going to be doing that, you know, that's not going to work. But we also know Saban, especially against coaches he trusts and likes, is not going to try to run up the score in the second half. We saw that last week when New Mexico State got a backdoor cover. So for me in that game, it's probably going to be a pass.
Christopher, we've got about a minute and a half left, buddy. Florida traveling to Kentucky. Florida is a 8-point favorite as of right now, according to my bookie. The over-under is at 47.5. How do you see that one playing out? And tell us about everything that's going on with my bookie right now, all the deals, the buy-ins, the plays. Give us the rundown, brother.
Yep. I am going to be on Florida in this game. I think if you're out there listening to this, you may want to wait a little while longer to see if you can get a 7.5 on Florida. But they had a week zero game against Miami. Then they had a bye week, and then they had a bad FCS team. So they've essentially been preparing to get revenge on Kentucky since August 25th. Cool. And now this Kentucky team, we all know they lost Terry Wilson, their starting quarterback. But this is the first real game Kentucky's played, you know, against a legitimate opponent since losing their entire starting secondary, four of their top five receivers, their best defensive player of all time, and arguably their best running back of all time. So my concern for Kentucky is how are they going to score in this game? they've essentially got one receiver that's any good, and Florida secondary is more than capable of shutting him down. And I think Florida's pass rush is going to be really tough on Sawyer Smith, the backup quarterback. So I like Florida a lot in that game. In terms of my bookie, you know, now is still a great time to sign up and start betting with the promo code Knoxville for a little while longer. We have a 100% sign-up bonus. So you put in $100, we give you 100. You put in 1,000, we give you 1,000 in bonus money. And it's still early in the season, so now's definitely the time to kind of get started and get all your bets in.
Very good. Christopher, always a pleasure, man. We'll catch you up again next week.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, bud.
Christopher Smith from MyBookie, the official sports book of Fed Run Radio. Again, check them out, mybookie.ag. Bet, win, get paid. We'll take a quick break right here. Come right back to these phone calls. It's The Drive, 865-546-8200. If you want to get on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline, 546-8200. Back with more after this.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Back to the sports show that doesn't just hang up and listen. The Drive.
Fox Sports Knoxville, The Drive continues. Be sure to give us your score prediction for the Vols in Chattanooga at facebook.com/The Drive with Russell Smith. It's your Crown Pick of the Week, presented by Crown Cleaners, a tradition of excellence for over 60 years serving East Tennessee. Check out crowncleaners.com to find the location nearest you. Closest score prediction wins a gift card from Crown Cleaners, as well as Qdoba Mexican Eats, located across from the Gallery Shopping Center near Westtown Mall on Kingston Pike. Let's get Bird Dog in here on the Nextdoor Home Group Hotline. Good afternoon, Bird Dog. You're on The Drive.
What's up, Russ?
Hey,
what's
man?
Up, Bear? What's up, Trey?
What up?
How y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing well. Thanks.
Good, good. Hey, guys, I've been looking for 10 years for positivity for Tennessee football. I can't find, boys, UCF. I don't know if y'all know or if y'all heard. UCF has three quarterbacks. They have a quarterback playoff. They don't know who's going to be the quarterback. We don't have one, guys. I'm looking for one quarterback. We don't have one. Garantano graded out as a backup.
Quarterback thing is a disaster. The start to the season is a disaster. If you want positivity, you got to look pretty hard. But, I mean, it's there if you look hard enough. I mean, Henry Toto is a fantastic prospect. He's going to be a special player here. Despite what happened with Alante Taylor the other night, I think him and Bryce Thompson, once they get rolling again, are going to be pretty good. Now, you know, big picture, can Pruitt get it together enough to win at a high level here? I don't know. That remains to be seen for sure. But, you know, you want positivity. That's all I got for you, Bird Dog.
Well, Russ, I'm looking at Florida. I'm looking at Georgia. I'm looking at Alabama. I'm looking at Ohio State and Oklahoma. How far behind are we to those programs? I mean, it's ridiculous. We're so far behind. I don't see us catching up. I try to be – I'm not a negaball, dude. I'm not a negaball. I am not.
Well, I don't think – I'm not as down on the overall state of the roster as some others. I mean, you're absolutely right, Bird Dog. We are nowhere close to the Alabama and Georgia level. Down another rung, you got Florida. We're not very close to that, in my opinion. But I think Tennessee has just as much talent on its roster – as South Carolina, as Missouri, as Kentucky. And those are the teams we got to learn how to beat again. Now, I don't know if Pruitt's got to – he's got to do a better job of managing things, the game, the practice, the depth chart, and things like that.
His coaches too, yeah.
But if he can do that, there's no reason that we shouldn't be able to reestablish dominance over those teams. And then you can turn your attention to Florida, Georgia, Alabama, those other teams. But I don't buy this that our talent is so far in the gutter that we're at the bottom of the SEC or anything like that. It's not.
As far as stars, what are we like, 15th ranked?
I mean, 247 did their like composite ranking where they average out of everybody's ESPN Rivals 247, and I think Tennessee came in 15th at the start of the season is in terms
so
of
So what
just,
do you attribute that to? Is that coaching?
It's the coaching changes. It's the revolving door. Some of it's on Pruitt. They need to do a better job of developing. They should have won these first two games. This team should be 2-0 right now. That hasn't changed. You know, I mean, like they lost the games, obviously, but they still have the team that we thought should be 2-0 right now, and not they should be 2-0.
Well, also I look at it too is in when this staff came in, this new staff. Butch Jones them had pretty much mailed it in that last year. Tennessee had to redo, and I know they redo it because of a new coach. They didn't have to redo a lot of this where they had to go back and start re-recruiting 19 and 20 recruits.
Yeah, it was a rough
like
transition.
I know coaches that walked in were like, what the hell is this? What have y'all been doing for the last 2 years? That adds up to juniors and seniors on the roster. So it's kind of – a lot of people might want to say expensive coaching staff. Okay, but also you have to know what's going on, too, behind the scenes as well, besides just pumping up the players and getting them ready to play. Their jobs are so much more as well.
Guys, Butch Jones is smoking cigarettes and cigars like they're going out of style. He is loving what is going on at Tennessee right now. He thought 2-9-4 seasons was great. But he's loving it. He's loving it. We are falling on our face, and he is loving it.
I think his agent, Jimmy Sexton, is the one that's enjoying it a little bit because of the paychecks he's getting.
Well, it's fellas, weird. I hope we get it turned around. I really do. But I don't see it anytime soon. I think we're going to be in the dumps for the next 10 years. But we'll see. We'll see.
Thank you, Bird Dog.
Good night, fellas.
Hey,
appreciate your time.
Yeah.
So it's going to be easy.
I mean, we've got good players on this roster.
Yes,
man.
You do.
I mean, you look at, and I know Vanderbilt stomped a mud hole in us last year, but when you talk about guys like, you know, Daryl Taylor, To'o, our two corners,
Batuli,
they don't have that level of talent out there. And I don't really think Kentucky and Missouri do either. Now, what Kentucky and Missouri have is a cohesive coaching staff that has been together for a long time. Even Barry Odom, I know it's still early, but, you know, he was promoted from within, so they didn't change defensive systems. It's their second year with Dooley. They've always had good quarterback play. They've got stability, which, like, we just don't have yet.
They've experienced some wins, too. Like they have the will to win.
Yeah, and they've got more confidence. I mean, look, we've just it's not that we've forgotten how to win, although that's true. It's that we've learned how to lose.
That's a good point.
And sitting in here watching that game before voluntary reaction Saturday, we punt that ball after we get stopped and they've got it at their 10-yard line or whatever it is, and I told John Reed, Davey Hudson, I said, I just feel like something terrible is about to happen. And you could just feel it in the air. And the players felt that. They've learned how to lose. You had to work hard to find a way to lose that game.
They did.
And they found a way. And so before you can learn how to win, you got to learn how not to lose. The team that makes the fewest mistakes will win the game. So that's kind of where we're at right now. We'll have Peter Burns from the SEC Network set to join us when we continue. Stay with us. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back. The Drive continues. Russell Smith, Trey Wallace, Bear will greet you as you call in this afternoon. Let's get Peter Burns from the SEC Network in here. Good afternoon, Peter. How you doing?
Good, boys.
Hey, man.
I'm doing well, man. Life is all right, and saw some pretty cool news of
that you know, with the what happened on SportsCenter that we just showed not too long ago about the you know, the UT fan getting the 4-year scholarship, and you know, kind of a cool story that's coming out of Neyland, because there hasn't been a whole heck of a lot up in Rocky Top lately, man.
Any press is good press.
Yeah, it's a shortage of feel good stories for sure. So we'll take it where we can get it, I guess.
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't know. How's your golf game been, buddy?
Man, whenever you got one kiddo and you're getting ready to have baby number two, it ain't good, man. And you combine that with the fact that college football here is season is right here. And, yeah, I might as well just sell the damn clubs. They ain't got no chance of actually teeing it up anytime soon. But that's all right, man. Hey, it was a good run.
Right.
You know, it's like, you're my boy, Blue. Like, just bury him and get rid of him. So.
Bo's getting a companion. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, bud.
That's fantastic. I mean, okay, look. I got to ask, because for some reason I put that you were joining our show today, and then all of a sudden I just got a crap load of replies that I guess you said something that maybe attacked.
What did you do, Peter?
What'd you do,
what
Peter?
Did you do?
Damn it.
It's starting to sound like my wife when I get home. It'd be like, what'd you do today to piss everybody off? And I don't know, honestly. I'm trying to figure that out. I saw somebody said that I hated Tennessee, and I'm like, and I'll ask you guys that. And Trey, I'll start with you. Do I hate Tennessee as a program and as a school?
No. And you know what the cool thing about that? We were talking about that during the break, and I was like, you know, Peter's not the – I've had Peter on numerous times, and he's not the one that – he's going to call it straight, but he's also not the type of guy that's going to bash a school.
Well, and we do keep a running list of media members that have bashed Tennessee. You think I'm kidding. I'm not. I won't bore you and go through it, but we double-checked. You are not on the list, Peter, so I don't know where that came from.
I didn't think so, man. I was like, hell, what else can I do? I picked Tennessee to win it all in basketball last year, and you know, even through I was going back not too long ago, and we're talking about the different coaching search or whatever, and I saw it, and I was like late November, I think in 2017, I guess, when all of that stuff was going down, and I had one. I was like, you know, Tennessee football, unbelievable history, great facilities, incredibly passionate fans. And I said, if you don't think a program with that support and that much support and passion isn't going to rise again, that you don't know blank about college football. So, yeah, I mean, it's news to me that evidently I've upset the Vol fans. Now, I love 98% of Vol fans.
There you
go. It's the 2% of the people that are looking for headlines in social media that ruin not only Vol football, Vol sports, but college football or any program. Every program has that 2% that are idiots.
What did you look over the last 2 weeks? And I talked to you during preseason, during fall camp, and you know, expectations. Okay, Tennessee probably be 2-0 here, 3-0 at the Chattanooga, then probably a loss coming at the Swamp. You know, we kind of came to that conclusion. But you've been in the SEC Network studios. You've been around everybody. You've been talking to Feinbaums and Chiziks and Dorings and Kubiks. Man, what is the overall feeling of what's going on right down the road from here on campus?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's everyone looked at this team going in. You guys nailed it. They figured, you know, I mean, I think me and Doring both predicted they would go 7-5 on our morning show. You know, I mean, some bumps on the way. And you know, midway through last year, I remember there was a week on our morning show that we talked about, hey, man, can Pruitt kind of come into this coach of the year type conversation? Now, obviously, they lost a couple of games late in the season that got him kind of disqualified from that. But you know, there was some love for what Pruitt was building and kind of excitement with Chaney coming and Garantano taking over and see if he would develop. And I honestly think it comes into I liken what happened with Tennessee football gave me more an appreciation for what happens at Alabama football. Let me explain. Alabama football loses and has a ton of turnover every single year, especially in coaching. Yet when they line up on Saturdays, nothing seems to change, right? It seems that they have a fairly decent amount of success. And I said, you know, that was going to be the interesting thing in Tennessee this year with Chaney taking over the offense and some new faces, T. Barton be a part. You know, will it be a seamless transition to build upon the good part of 2018? You know, and so far it frankly hasn't. And again, I almost take the BYU loss out of the equation because BYU isn't a horrible team. The players play their ass off. You get one bad play late into that game, and you were in it. And, I mean, you know, so I take that out of the equation. It's really the Georgia State loss is the one that's still kind of troubling to not only myself but everybody around that watches college football.
Yeah, no doubt about it. If, you know, even if Tennessee had played poorly, if they still just found a way to just get the win in that game, you win a game 38-36 or whatever. Yeah, you know, people take their shots, but you win the game, you're 1-1 with a loss to BYU. Nobody's talking about making another coaching change, which sadly is, you know, that's come up. I'm sure you see it on Twitter as well. What's your opinion on just Jeremy Pruitt? Obviously, these are not good conversations to be having when you're this early in year two.
No, and that's why I got so upset about the 2% of the people that, you know, between texting out athletic directors' numbers or painting the rock that Greg Schiano covered up child rape and all that stuff. I mean, that led to just so many circus headlines that it was, I mean, my goodness, that's why it took so many tries to find the right head coach in Knoxville, because of all these people trying to put their name on these headlines and get a bunch of run out of it. And so the job that he has to do was not an easy one. It wasn't like, all right, we're just moving on from Butch Jones. All right, we've made a hire. Now go do what you're doing, right? I mean, you know, when you lose a year, I've had a college coach tell me, if you lose a month and a half of recruiting, it will set you back a year. And I can argue that the whole coaching search and the circus around it probably hurt Tennessee recruiting for 2 years. And I just don't expect Jeremy Pruitt to be able to kind of build that foundation and get the program to where it should be a national title contender in what, 14 games into his tenure?
Yeah.
Peter Burns, SEC Network, with us here this afternoon.
I agree.
Hey, real quick, am I wrong?
No,
am I wrong on anything here?
Well, no, I don't think you're – look, I've always – under the assumption 14 games, especially with what he was coming in and trying to turn over with no offensive line, no defensive line,
right,
linebackers, secondary. I mean, it's almost like he was taking over a bewildered SMU startup program again.
Well, the only thing I would add is that, like, I don't think that, you know, the circus that was the 2017 coaching search, I don't think that adds anything extra to the problems that Tennessee is facing right now. I just think it is all the change, you know, four coaches in less than 10 years, which is why, you know, as badly as Jeremy Pruitt, you might think he's mismanaged the start of the season. I put a lot of the blame at his feet. He is the head coach. It's not year one. It's year two.
Yeah.
Like, to be talking, you can't fire. What are you going to do? You fire him now? I mean, what good does that do? It's not like you're gaining an advantage by changing coaches, you know, immediately this early in the season. I just think that Tennessee lacks stability, and you've got to do whatever you can to get you some of that right now, because that's what recruits see is, hey, I go to Tennessee, I don't know who my coach is going to be by the time I get to be a junior.
Right, and that's why I look at it and I go, you know what? If I'm a recruit, I look out and I say, you know what? Yeah, they started 0-1, but there were 93,000, it felt like, and they were loud as hell.
It was hard 93, too.
You go to any other program that's lost to Georgia State in week one or a big underdog like that, guess what? You're going to have 20,000 people don't show up. If that doesn't show you how incredible the Vol fans are and how much that brand is loyal to what Vol football means, they're going to be there thick and thin. And all I've said is I hold the 98% of Vol fans that are awesome, man, that is great, because guess what? There's 100 different programs, and I'm not joking. And when I say 100, there's 100 different programs that would kill, right, for the type of fans that Vol fans have. The problem is I do think, and I'm a firm believer, that it's part of that 2% that doesn't help the situation of, well, we got to get rid of Pruitt right now. And, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's hire our third head coach and pay him in 3 years. And let's just set back recruiting a little bit longer. Like, it sucks, but you need to have patience, because there's no doubt in my mind with the facilities, with what that program is, with Fulmer at the helm, they're going to get this thing right. Sadly, it's just not microwavable right now.
Then you've got Urban Meyer the other night on, mention a competing network, but he's on TV talking about, this is Urban Meyer, who's not coming here. I don't think he wants to come here. He has nothing to gain by saying this, but he's talking about, he says Tennessee's a top 10 job in the country, and talking about how much they feared coming in here when he first got to Florida and all this. And to, you know, his point was to see it deteriorate to the point that it's at currently is just mind-boggling. But I guess that's where we are. Peter, just looking at this weekend, not a great slate of games compared to what we've seen the first 2 weeks, but what are you looking forward to?
This week sucks. Just go ahead and
okay,
say it.
Okay, well, I didn't know if you could say that. Sucks.
Okay, all right, that's fine. We're good.
Hey, I can say it. I was just, it might be airing right now. I did College Football Live a little while ago, and we were with Vilma and Emmanuel Acho, and we're, like, going through our rundown. I'm like, boys, I mean, what are we doing today? Because I don't know if I can really sell this, you know, this Syracuse or you know, Indiana game, or, you know, if I could really get into Stanford and UCF and all these games. I'm like, this is a brutal schedule. But it doesn't mean it's not important. I mean, and that's why this game against the Mocs right now is a get-right game. You know, I mean, South Carolina needed a get-right game last week after blowing that lead to North Carolina. They got right. Now they got Ryan Helinski. Now he may be killed by the end of the week because he got to face Alabama in his second start. But, you know, you have to take advantage of a week like this if you're Chaney, if you're Garantano, to make sure that, hey, all right, what happened, let's just go, let's move forward, and the season starts now.
No, I agree, and I think it'll get turned around this weekend. I don't know how far it'll get turned around, but I think it will. But I look at Florida-Kentucky Saturday night is an interesting game to me. Can the Gators go on the road, handle a backup quarterback at Kentucky? You know, they'll be looking for revenge. And then also, Peter, I'm looking forward to seeing Helinski play at South Carolina. I know it's against Alabama, but – still, I'm looking forward to that. Kind of my last question. A couple years ago, Gary Danielson made a comment on SEC on CBS, and I think it's Vern that first brought it up. And Tennessee had just beaten Georgia at home, and I think it was the year 2015. And they were coming off a loss to Florida. And he said something along the lines of, I think Tennessee just got over the hump. And that was during the Butch Jones era. Where do you see that spot? How many years do you see where Tennessee, if Tennessee comes out, let's say next year, beats Florida? And you never know what's going to happen in Gainesville. Anything can happen. But what is the Tennessee just got over the hump mark for Jeremy Pruitt?
Well, I mean, it starts with finishing the rest of the season strong, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's by far the most important thing. And the question is can you have that game? I mean, again, by year three of Pruitt, you should have that, okay, we're starting to get over the hump. I think that's fair. Now, again, I'm a firm believer that Pruitt's going to be there the rest of the year. I'm a firm believer that he'll be there in 2020.
Right.
And anybody saying so is not doing the Vol program to get over the hump, frankly, any good. And it takes that win, right? Because all of a sudden, this is, in a weird way, the 0-2 start. Now, listen, nobody expected Tennessee football to win the SEC East this year. I mean, did you guys?
Nope, not at all.
So really, has the calculus changed for how this program can go forward? It hasn't, right? So for me, you look at this year and you find out. And now, listen, everybody wanted to give him hell about saying the Titanic thing. Who cares if he said that, right? What he meant to say was correct. Like, you're going to find out who wants to be a Vol for life. You're going to find out who needs to get the hell out of there. So in a weird way, I can spin this and say, listen, 0-2 sucks, right? However, you're going to find a way that who you can trust going forward. And more importantly, you're going to find out where your weaknesses are. Eventually what it's going to come down to is you're going to have to get better quarterback play. I mean, you look at the next hump level, right?
Yeah.
Look at what LSU has done with Joe Burrow, Tua, even with Jake Fromm. You have to have an elite quarterback right now. And Garantano and Chaney just aren't on that same level, and I hope that it starts getting better at least this weekend.
He is Peter Burns. You'll see him on the SEC Network this weekend. Peter, always a pleasure, man. Thanks.
Am I allowed back in Knoxville? Or am I hated too much?
No, I think you're good, dude.
He's not on the list. I mean, if he was – you're not on the list, dude.
Look, right, I've seen the list, Peter. I mean, the name's on the list –
Right, I'm not Dan Wolkin, right? I mean, I'm just making sure.
I was going to say.
He's number one, Peter. He's number one.
You're good.
Later, boys.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Peter,
brother.
Burge.
Appreciate you. Congratulations on the nuke one coming.
Making his presence felt this afternoon. We got to take a quick break. Stay with us. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up. Speak now forever. Hold your peace. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. Back with more after this.
For FDIC. Knoxville's home for sports radio in the afternoon. This is The Drive.
I mean, do you have a problem with what he said, Peter Burns, about the rock painting? That's the only
2%?
No, just like he said, like the people who painted the rock to say Greg Schiano covered up child rape.
Well, that was pretty stupid.
I mean, I never thought that. I thought that was taking it a little bit, you know.
Why, though? You actually, but you think that they should go paint the rock and all that those kind of messages on a University of Tennessee
rock?
No,
I thought it was a little bit obscene, and I thought the point was getting through without going there. And the entire point of the Schiano stuff was, and not to get into all this again, but, like, we don't know if he did that. And, like, right. to assert that you do know with certainty that he did that is defamatory. And
all we ever said was we didn't want to sit in the stands and wonder.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's never been put under oath, him and the other coach that you know.
And where is, you know, where is he coaching now?
At home, trying to coach his marriage back up.
Wow, that was odd. Wow. Okay.
Damn it. You make me feel bad now. I mean, y'all just get done bashing him, and then I come in.
We didn't say anything personally about his marriage.
No, you're talking about if he's a pedophile or not.
No, I'm not saying he's a pedophile. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Report.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying, and I'm saying that he's done.
That we don't know if he did, but yeah. We just don't want to even
but
have
he,
to.
He's never been real eager to be placed under oath and testify about it. I know that.
The list is as follows. Pete Thamel, Dennis Dodd, Doug Gottlieb, Dan Wilkins, Stephen A. Smith, Tim Brando, Seth Davis, Dan Wetzel, Pat Forty, Joel Klatt, Kirk Herbstreit, Peter King, Booger McFarland, Breck McMurphy, Dana O'Neill, and Matt Hayes.
Jesus.
There's some people that aren't worthy. That's there's some people that we aren't going to put on the list.
I didn't see Myron Metcalf on that list. You took him off?
Well,
Since I had him on, you took him off?
This list is specifically for the Schiano Sunday thing. Criticism.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's like,
well, we got some difference of opinions with Myron.
Myron Metcalf is loosely affiliated with the list. We'll put it that way.
And there's certain people like, what's the guy?
Well, even Dana O'Neill, she's tried to get off the list this year, and we put it to a public referendum. Tennessee fans said no, so she's still on the list.
Kiss ass piece.
It was a fluff piece on Barnes. There was who's the guy? Matt. God,
Hayes.
Who's he
no.
with?
I think he works at Torres, but he's a Kentucky fan.
Matt Jones?
Yeah, like Jones, he won't go on the list just because he's not good enough to be on the list.
Well,
he's not good enough to roll.
Knows what he's doing. He's Kentucky Sports Radio.
No, it's got nothing to do. He's not big enough to go on the list.
I don't remember him having, like, I don't remember any of his commentary regarding the Schiano situation, I don't know if he's on there or not.
Yeah.
All right, folks, the stadium naming rights. Big story coming out, Miami. Does anybody know what the Miami Heat's arena is?
It used to be American,
is it American Airlines.
Arena.
Yeah, okay. Yep. That's where LeBron
they had to
played.
Give up their rights.
They're giving up the rights. So the rights for the Miami Heat's arena are up for bidding. And a website, bangbrothers.com. You familiar with Bang Brothers, Trey? Is that on your list of – is that on your bookmarks?
Wait a minute.
Bang Brothers. Bangbrothers.com.
No.
You a big Bang Brothers guy?
No.
Bear, you like Bang Brothers?
Why are you bringing this
I don't
up?
Know. I'm asking. I'm not familiar with their work.
It's a sports story.
This is a sports story?
Bang Brothers official Twitter account says, we've officially submitted our $10 million bid for the naming rights to the Miami Heat Arena.
Oh, dear Lord.
We wish to thank American Airlines for their past support of the at Miami Heat. We intend to change the name to the Bang Brothers Center, a.k.a. the BBC. Oh, what that means.
I'm not sure either.
Hashtag Bang Bros Cares. Bang Brothers Arena. Or, I'm sorry, the Bang Brothers Center.
The BBC. Like a news outlet across the pond.
Yeah, the British
like
Broadcasting Corporation. I think that's already taken, right?
Trey getting way too much.
Is this real?
Yeah.
I don't understand. What's so funny?
This is an actual story.
Yeah. No, I mean, they put it on Twitter. They're bidding $10 million to name
Chase, the Chase got in fourth grade that when, you know.
No.
The teacher calls somebody a boob and he loses.
Can you imagine walking up to watch the Heat play and you look up and it just says Bang Bros Arena?
Bang Bros Center. Get it right, Trey.
Bang Bros Center.
The BBC.
I mean, what's concession in the bathrooms going to look like?
Concession in the bathrooms?
What kind of extra amenities?
Look like a concession stand and...
I bet there'd be free Wi-Fi.
They have restrooms and, you know, concessions. Sure, I just like anybody else.
Concession stand.
I don't see what the big deal is, quite frankly.
They're willing to pay the money.
Such a liar, BOS.
Bang Bros Center.
Oh,
I mean, I'm looking forward to watching.
You caught me off guard with that, man.
Josh Richardson could grace the court at Bang Bros Center
at the BBC.
I'm done.
All right. Okay, Trey's done for the day.
Are there any other tenants at Bang Bros Center? Just try, like, what do you get to have? Like, I don't know, film festivals or something like that? Dating
you
thing?
Have, you could have concerts.
Mixers. Concerts.
All kinds of stuff.
It's probably a hard ticket.
All right, that's going to do it for us, folks. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime coming up next, 6 till 8. We'll do it again tomorrow. We'll be live at National RX amongst the Farragutians. We'll talk to you then.